This is the Dr. Touch podcast. Episode 10, A New Decade. I hope you had a good transition into this new decade. 2010 always was the future for me. Close enough to live to see it and enjoy it, yet far enough so that amazing technologies could be developed. Also, can you believe that it's been already a decade since Y2K caused lots of IT projects looking for places where the dates could not handle the jump to 00? Well, in any case, it's been an amazing ride so far, and we are on tenterhooks to see what Apple has in store for us in this decade or even this year. This brings us to the news. Apple announces, they didn't announce it as such. They mentioned in passing on a telco conference that in the 18 months since the App Store is open, they had 8 billion downloads. Wasn't it just recently that we reached 1 billion? Seems that nobody doubts the success of the App Store anymore. Tuav, the unofficial Apple weblog, did an open survey with manual tabulating of the wishes iPhone users have on the next big iteration of the iPhone OS. The most wished for features were: most people asked for a different lock screen and or a new customizable home screen that's location aware, preferably. Being able to access it via vertical swiping. Some sort of method to better categorize your 11 full pages of app icons on the phone. 80% of respondents asked for Flash, even if it's a bad idea. 70% want to be able to lock the orientation if you are reading on your side in bed, for example. 65% want to be able to remove Apple apps, especially if you purchased an app that does it better. 60% would like a shared documents folder. Also, 60% would like support for more video codecs to be able to get something from sites with Windows Media Videos. And finally, 50% would like a proper disk mode for the iPhone. I also participated, and my main request was to be able to develop and sell widgets for an improved locker home screen. With so many people requesting this, I think I was dead on. It would be great if we could develop widgets and also sell them for $1 a piece. Widgets would be much easier to make if they are similar how you program them on Mac or Windows. But the perceived value is much higher because you see them all the time, as opposed to this $4 app on page 11 of your springboard. Apple supposedly ordered millions of LED flashes to go with 5 megapixel camera sensors. So future iPod touches and iPhones are likely to be the recipients of those. And it also makes sense to have a flash in the iPhone, because iPhone users keep their phones on them all the time, and there are many situations where you still cannot make photos due to low light conditions. Also, the competition does not sleep, and Apple simply has no choice but to catch up on the next iteration. Good news for us developers. Apple appears to have supercharged App Store review process as of beginning of 2010. We're getting reports that some apps have been approved in as little as a day or even less, a couple of hours in one example. Since this significant improvement started around the beginning of the new year, we can assume that Apple has hired way more staff just for reviewing apps. New staff would start at the beginning of the month, naturally. Or do we think that these were simply Apple's New Year's resolutions? Probably not. Apple does not resolve or announce. They produce facts, aiming to keep the world in a state of constant astonishment. Apple has introduced two new statuses for apps, invalid binary and upload received. They really seem to like giving names to the various stages of the submission process. I'm sure we'll soon see a Steve Jobs farted status if your app is giving Apple CEO indigestion. Apple would like to remind you once again to make sure that you have good keywords to increase visibility of your apps. You can assign or edit keywords for each update to your binaries. An interesting recent introduction are vanity URLs of sort. Instead of using the Apple App ID, you can now make iTunes links to apps and developers with proper words in them. For apps you write http://, itunes.com/apps/appname. For developers, http://itunes.com/apps/developer name. A combination is also possible. http://itunes.com/apps/developer name/appname. This is all very easy if you have a simple name. I tried it out with several variants, but I could never find a working URL leading to my company. itunes.com/app/luckywheel worked though. There is a detailed guide on Apple's site telling you what to do with special characters. Apple has acquired mobile advertising company Quattro Wireless after having lost the bid on AdMob. Shortly after that, I found a targeted spam email from Quattro in my inbox asking to basically switch to them. I call it spam because it pretends to be not, but it makes the following mistakes. Your address is in the BCC. It pretends to have a personal relationship with you by claiming that somebody at Quattro found your apps to be looking great. It claims to be from a person, whose name I shall not mention, of title Business Development Manager, aka Fisher for Customers. But even though it is written in a familiar tone, he does not mention my name, nor where he got my email address from. According to the guy's LinkedIn profile, he's doing his job for 8 months, so he should know better than to try to convince serious developers to switch to Quattro by means of spam email. You're either in the targeted advertising business or in the spam business. You can't be both. Shortly after I tweeted about my dismay, this guy sent me an email stating that he's sorry for the numerous mails and that he will take me off his list. The subject of his email was opt out. He just does not learn. Cult of Mac reports that there's a bug in the power management functionality of the Magic Mouse. It will report batteries that are half drained as empty. An experiment proved that this seems to be really true. So we Magic Mouse users are again waiting for Apple to issue a fix via software update. In the meantime, make sure you have new batteries available should you reach the threshold. A good idea why there are no iPhone OS updates recently is that because the same SDK is used for iPhone, iPod Touch and iSlate, you have lots of references to the tablet throughout the SDK and even OS. So that's probably why the next update will bear version number 4 and will be published after Apple finally makes public their next bombshell, the iSlate, if rumors are true, in as early as 2 weeks. Okay, that's it for the news. Today I have a special treat for you. I've got Ortwin Gentz with me from Germany, from the company FutureTap, and together with Luc van Del from Edovia, in French Canada, they came together to collaborate on a project that's beneficial for all developers. It's the in-app settings kit. And hey, Ortwin, tell me, what is this about?
Hi, Oliver. So in-app settings kit is basically a solution to create in-app settings that are compatible with the standard settings used by settings.app. So normally, as you know, every iPhone app has or should normally have its settings in the system settings, so people can access the settings via the settings app. So now problem is in a lot of cases, these system settings are just too far away, right? So it's not very convenient for users to always quit the app, open the system settings app, scroll down there, wait until all these apps appear, and then select the right one, and then basically go back to the app you came from. So We think that in-app settings solve a lot of these problems, so it's much more convenient for users to just change a little setting and basically continue the app from there. So, but on the other hand, still people are used to system settings. So what we think is the best of both worlds is our so-called hybrid approach. Under this hybrid approach, basically, you have the settings in both the system settings and in in-app settings. Now, when we do have this hybrid approach, of course, it makes sense to always use the same settings bundle so that the developer is not required to maintain two separate settings systems or so, or settings basically models. So what we did basically with in-app settings kit is a solution to provide to provide a framework that accesses the same settings bundle in inside your app and displays a UI that is absolutely a one-to-one copy of the system settings app.
So basically, I would go and create a settings bundle in Xcode, right?
Exactly.
Like I would do for settings that I have in the settings application. And then I would imagine instantiate a special view controller from within my app that would also be able to load these settings and display them. Is that correct?
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly the way it works. And the nice thing also is a lot of developers, of course, already have system settings panes already defined in their apps. And it's very easy to just add this in-app settings functionality, because also it's 100% compatible in terms of that it accesses the same user defaults that the user already has entered for previous versions of the app. So it's a really an easy upgrade path for developers to just add these in-app settings while still maintaining all the compatibility to the to the old way of doing it.
Now I have a question. I have, if I remember correctly, Apple says you should put settings that you don't use all the time into the settings bundle, and settings that you would change often you would keep in the app. Does your in-app settings kit allow me to have different settings and switches for the settings bundle and for what I then have in the application, or does it have to be the same?
So actually, that's a good point. In some cases, you wanna make a difference. Of course, the easier way is just to use the exact same settings in system settings and in your in-app settings. But it is, in some cases, desirable to make a difference, sometimes only in terms of wording, and sometimes, of course, also in terms of additional keys or separate keys, that you have some keys in the system settings, some preferences in in-app settings. So it is possible, basically, to define your own system, or to define your own plist, basically, that is used only for in-app settings.
Aha,
and so you can even use those on a specific plist basis. So let's imagine you have an advanced pane that is in a separate plist. You can make only the difference in the advanced pane while maintaining the same plist for the general root of your settings.
Aha, because at the moment, for all my apps that have settings, I would go and take a group table view and code lots of cells there, and then I have some for switches and sliders. And you're saying basically in-app settings kit would make this all obsolete. I would just create a plist in a certain format, or the same format as the settings bundle, and I would basically be done, right?
Exactly, exactly. So that's exactly the point, to write all this stuff yourself with table views and view controllers and all these different like sliders and toggle switches and text fields and stuff like that. It's really, really a lot of work, and we feel that it doesn't make sense to to write all that in code yourself. So it's it makes much more sense to go that basically configuration route, that you just have a plist that defines everything, and all these table views and so on are created automatically.
Now, if you publish something like that, that's probably would I don't know, go for $1,000 or so, but you chose to give it away for free. Why is that?
Basically, we feel that first of all, we really appreciate our really great community, and we took so much of our community in terms of great advice and in terms of code we use from others, so that we felt it's time to give back a little bit and basically support our wonderful community. So that was the main target and main goal, of course, with in-app settings kit. And of course, we feel that it would be great if a lot of apps go that route, because it's more convenient for the user. So we feel it might just increase the platform value, or basically the value apps provide for iPhone users.
Mm-hmm. So let's briefly summarize for our listeners how to get started with that. Basically, you go to inappsettingskit.com, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
There's a brief explanation of what it does, and there's a link to the GitHub repository. And I had a play with it earlier today. Basically, at the top right of the GitHub page, you have a button that allows you to download a zip of the in-app settings kit itself, and as well of a sample app that shows how to include it in your own app. And if people need support or anything, where would they go?
So I would suggest that if people have problems or so, that they just open an issue on the GitHub page. People that know already GitHub. GitHub is a great way for a social network for coding, basically. And there, it's easy to write whatever issue people have with it, and we will make sure to help users or developers that have problems with it.
Well, that's really great. Well, and thank you for coming on the show and telling us all about that, because I think it's an amazing thing you put together here. Now, tell me briefly what other things great apps people can get from you. What do you have, something maybe cooking at the moment?
Of course, we do also have something in cooking, but right now people can head over to futuretap.com and see what we offer there. And currently, that's our app Whereto for iPhone, which is a GPS points of interest finder that allows users to easily find the next hotel, restaurant, or whatever in their vicinity. And it comes with a lot of great features, like you can automatically refer to a Navigon mobile navigator for directions when you want to go to a specific restaurant or so. You can configure pretty much everything. You have a search functionality, so it's really a very convenient tool, and it's has some great coverage in the press and so on. So if people are interested in that, just head over to futuretap.com and give it a shot.
And it really looks beautiful. If you look at it, it's so well designed. It has like this look that makes you feel you have something really valuable. And of course, then there's the content. It looks like an amazing app. Well, thanks, Ortwin, for coming on the show. I can't thank you enough. By the way, you were the first person to be interviewed by Dr. Touch.
So great.
Consider this an honor. Well, and I'm honored for you to be on here.
So thanks for having me.
All right, that's it for our interview. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm now going to check out in-app settings kit.